Good afternoon, everyone. But I do want to go into the sermon for today, and I'm going to start it out by telling you a story that is going to affect, I think, how we look at things. The story is about a fisherman in the Gulf of Mexico, and he went out, he was out fishing, and he noticed, well, he wasn't in sight of land or anything, but he noticed that a sandbar had built up, and this is different. So he went over and looked at the sandbar, and he saw these gray bars, and he put down its anchor and he went over and he salvaged these bars. He was thinking, now these are lead bars and I need some ballast in my boat. So he picked up these lead bars and he put them in his boat and didn't think much about it. And quite a bit of time passed. And for some reason, he examined these bars a little bit more closely and he realized that these were silver, not lead. Now, silver is a quite a heavy metal, not quite as heavy as lead, but you could be easily confused by the two metals. And of course, being in the ocean, the tarnishing of the silver made it look like oxidized lead. It had the same appearance. Here he was running around with his boat using it for ballast, and he's got a couple $100,000 worth of silver in his boat. This kind of actually reminds me of something has come about, and it came about because I've been doing these Bible studies on the calendar. And there's a couple of interesting things that happened as a result of having to do these Bible studies about the calendar. And that is that it forced me to do things that I had put away. I knew the calendar, understood how it worked. And so therefore, there wasn't much really more to be said about. But along comes Naaman Kent, and he saw the website with the little calendar proof website, and he saw the calendar and he got in contact with me, and he really was quite emphatic about he wanted to learn about the calendar. He wanted to find out, what makes it work? Why is it the way it is? And so he actually said, maybe you could come down here or I could come up there. I told him, I said, I didn't really, he lives in Chicago. It's not a place that I really am looking forward to visiting. if I have to, I would do that. But if I don't have to go to Chicago, I sure am not going to go there. And I said, maybe you could come up here. And then we were talking. He said, maybe there's some way to do this. And I thought, we could do this over Zoom. And he said, that's right. That would be really good, especially with the virus thing and all that's going on. Sorry to hear, John, that you have succumbed to the virus, but apparently it's not much of a deal anyway. It wasn't a real serious thing for Alice either. So anyway, that's what started me back into the calendar and looking at it in a more direct way. And so when we take a look at this, we would have to recognize that obviously this was an outside influence that caused me to do this. And you just wonder, this man, I think, was being used by God to move me. It's like, okay, Roth, you need to shape up. You need to really start looking at all this that I've given you. You need to start looking at this And so it was kind of like the bars of silver that this man was using in his boat for ballast. Well, you know, we kind of use the calendar thing that from time to time it helped in giving understanding to what we were maybe dealing with in particular. But this actually caused me to do things that I hadn't really thought about. For instance, the first thing, we'll do a screen share here. And we're going to bring up the calendar generator. And the reason that I'm going into this is because there wasn't a whole lot of view there for these Wednesday night Bible studies. You just, well, it wasn't particularly of interest maybe to you. And so, well, okay, I understand the calendar. And so I don't really need to know the detail of it. So actually, what really happened is there was a chart that we were using. It was chart 3, and I was in the process of using this as far as teaching. But as I looked at this teaching tool, I realized that there was things that could be improved. And so I made improvements in this particular chart. Here it is, chart 3. One of the things that I added to this chart is I took out one column in here and I added this column, which is the number of days in each Hebrew year, which is important to understand that, because here's the year AM, year 1, and it has 354 days in it. And so that's a really kind of an important piece of information. The other piece of information that was added is the column, or this yellow shaded, which represents in the Gregorian calendar, represents a leap year. So in the Gregorian calendar, 4045 BC is, in fact, would be a leap year. Now, here you can see this, of course, we always had the leap years designated for the solar calendar. And you can see now, they don't agree. They're not in agreement. And so that was something that was added. And then I added a blue strip showing the skipped leap years. In other words, whenever there was a leap year that would be skipped. And that occurs ever so often. You remember 128 years, this leap year was skipped. So I had this added. So every time that you would go through this, if you looked at this, you would find some additional important information. Now, this is really quite an important chart because, in fact, if you had this chart, if this is all you had, you could actually create the calendar generator. You could do that. In fact, that's how the calendar generator was created. It was created off this chart. And this chart originally was all the information on the original chart, which is a lot less. There's a whole lot more interesting, good, usable information. For instance, you here see this is the 19-year time cycle, and that reverts back at 13 of these, gives you a 247-year cycle. And all of these pieces of information were added after the fact to help clarify. So anyone who might be studying this would be able to look at this and gather a lot of information. So this is the first thing that actually was caused. I would never have done this. I would never have gone back to chart 3. It was a done deal. No sense, you know, getting involved in it because we had the calendar generator. So we didn't really need this any longer. But if you're going to teach the calendar, then all of this information is quite pertinent and important to be able to show it. And so the fact that I had to teach this really caused me to develop this chart. And so that was a good thing. That was a good thing. So The next thing that comes along is, as I've gone through and I went through a lot of the chart and I showed how these different happenings like the flood year, I showed how the flood year, what the construction of the ark was such that their only way that Noah could give us the dates as he recorded them, or in fact, as Moses recorded them, was by calculation. No, there was no other way that he could have done this because of the construction of the ark. And I'm sure that all of you are quite familiar with the construction of the ark. I've written articles on it, but I brought this out in the Bible study, and that was near one of the last sessions that I held. And then the last week I held the last session. And as a result of that last session caused me, and I didn't really know why I did it, but it caused me to look at something other than these charts here. And which is an interesting thing because, as I will explain when we're going to look at this, you see here as a chart, this is a one-page chart. And I actually did the work for this one-page chart back in 2017, which was, well, at least 3 years ago. And I did put all this information together, and it never really registered with me as being, well, it was nice to have the information. And that this is basically what it was about. It's nice to have the information. But for some reason, I don't know why, I went back and I looked through the material and I see this chart. And so I started looking at the chart and I said, well, this is the perfect conclusion for the series of Bible studies that I was holding on the calendar. And so, well, why is that? So here's the explanation. If we start at 1 a.m., as you see in this column here, you have the a.m. years, that is starting with 1 and coming forward from the creation year. And over here, you have the B.C. year, corresponding B.C. year to that a.m. year. And so what I did is I said, you know, this is all biblical. Genesis chapter 5, you go through there and you add up all these people, their lives and how long they lived and when they died, etc. You'll come to this figure. And this is not something out of the blue. In other words, lots of people have done this when looking at building a biblical timeline. But you see, actually, if you add that up, would be 1656. But you see, I start out with year 1, so you have to use 1655. And so then I note here, additional years to the 385-day year of Noah's flood, which we pretty much all know that. If you add it up, 1661, there it is. Here's the B.C. year over here, and this is the benchmark year. It's important. And it's easily calculated. And so then the years from the flood to Terah's birth, 223, same thing. You just go and add up the years. They're there. And then we go down here and we find out how to correctly determine the age of Abraham, because Abraham was born when Terah was 130 years old. Therefore, Terah lived 205 years. Abraham was 75 when he died, Genesis 12:4, and Abraham left Haran 430 years. So there we have the 430 years of Genesis 12. We should put that Genesis 12 should be added here because it tells you Genesis 12:40 and 41 tells you that these 430 years transpired. And you add all that up, and you'll come to the Exodus year, which is a benchmark year, 2519. And here you have 2519 BC 1528. And so what I did is I went through this with the people that were in the Bible study. And the end result is the fact that when you get down here, you can see you have the 40 years of testing. The temple was destroyed, the second temple, in 70 AD. And so if you take 70 from 2021, which is the year we're in, you get 6067 AM, which shows exactly the same number that you started with back up here. Well, would be the same number when it gets us to the present year. So if you take and you subtract this number from this number, you'll get 4046, which is the BC date for the creation. So then when I thought, well, this is really good. But and then I started thinking about this, and I'm saying this piece of paper, this one page, really points out the entire scope of the Bible, doesn't it? I mean, in passage of time. And where did all of this come from? All of this came through building the calendar generator. And here it is. It's compact. This is an unbelievable piece of information. There should be no question about this. I mean, when you understand this, this is, in fact, the only accurate summation of time in the Bible, and the fact of the Bible, and the fact that it is the summation confirms the Bible itself. And so after I gave the last Bible study, it started dawning on me, you know, here I had done this like 3 years ago. If I hadn't been forced into doing that series of Bible studies, I would never have gone back to this piece of writing that I did 3 years ago. There was no reason for me to do it. And so as I was contemplating and thinking about this, it came to me that, and this should be really obvious as I have presented this information, that this was not something that I dreamed up. You might say, well, you did dream it up. No. But the realization I had was that had I not been forced into doing this series of Bible studies, I would never have gone back and dug up this piece of information that I had written 3 years ago. It would never have come to the front. In other words, it was something that the way that I look at it now is I look at it that God forced me, and okay, I want you to get back on this. I want you to look at this because there's more here than what you've been thinking about. And so this caused me to think even further about our website that we have, Biblical Calendar Proof. Because when you think about this, this is important. This is vitally important. And God didn't have this information brought out for it not to be really utilized. We'll go to a verse that is really important as far as I'm concerned here for us to look at. And it's something that I think we have missed out or not carried it forward like we should have. It's very similar to someone like that man who found those, what he thought were lead bars, and picked them up and you know, well, yeah, they were valuable. You know, they were ballast in his, they were invaluable to him in the sense that they gave him the ballast that he needed in his fishing boat. And so in that sense, they were of value. but he didn't really realize their importance until he came to understand that, look, this is really silver that I have here, not lead. And if we go to Matthew 10, we'll start reading in verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the middle of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. That's really an important piece of information. You know, he said, look, you're just sheep out there and you're going into a pack of wolves. And that basically, this is us, really. This is our basically, well, it's everyone that God has called out of this world. We are the sheep and we're going into this world, which is just filled with wolves. There's all kinds of them out there. And so, therefore, be wise as serpents. So, in other words, we should be wise, but harmless yet. In other words, being able to understand what kind of society we're into. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will whip you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour that you shall speak. So, when we recognize this, what is this? This is placing, in other words, we're putting our lives in the hands of God the Father, really, and of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what this is saying. For it is not for you to speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaks in you. So, this is really interesting when you think about this, because and how this applies, as far as I'm thinking applies to us, is the fact that the Father is causing these things to happen. And the brother shall deliver a brother to death, and father the child, and the children shall rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. This is really something, of course, that basically we have not experienced in fact of actually going through these terrible times, but they will happen. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Truly I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man comes. The disciple is not above his master, nor a servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. And the sermonette was exactly talking about this, right? Well, you know, what is the whole point of the sermonette? Was the fact that Christ followed the laws. It's therefore we're supposed to be like Christ and like the Father. So therefore we must do the same. And the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Think of and not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. So this is another really important statement that he's making. Because the understanding of what we understand as far as the calendar is something that no one has recognized in these modern times. It's been hid. But it's Christ is saying, it shall be revealed and it shall be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that you shall in that speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach on the housetops. So this is really what I've been thinking about, and I've been thinking and I'm saying, well, isn't this what we should be doing? And in fact, the way I look at this, well, you know, we kind of, well, we got the website, so all right, you know, the information is out there. But I think we should look back and think about this in terms of what we've been given is really a very valuable tool. More valuable than we've ever really thought about. Because this tool that we've been given, this information that we've been given, is of special quality when you start thinking about it. And see, when I went back and looked at that summation page that I did, I realized that it started dawning on me, well, this is an important piece. Look what this does. In one page of information, you have revealed the essence of the Bible. The essence of the Bible in time. And so I started thinking about this even a little bit deeper. And we'll X out of this. And we're going to go back to the calendar generator. And we're going to look at the calendar generator. And I'm thinking, you know, we have this calendar generator and you know, it gives you the information. I mean, here it is, you know, the seventh day is the Sabbath. It's the culmination of the creation week. And it presents this information, doesn't it? And it goes along basically every year we can look at this, and it's something that it's all right. I mean, you know, it's in one respect, it's pretty good. But in another respect, it really doesn't do justice to what it should be doing, what we should be doing. We should be polishing this. We should make it stand out. So how do you propose that we're going to make it stand out? Well, just simply right here, for instance. You mean we don't even show the first day of creation or the second or the sixth day when man was made? We don't show that. It's not there. Shouldn't that be highlighted? Shouldn't we have some way of putting those first 7 days in there and in blocks and telling, yeah, from each day what transpired on those particular days? Shouldn't that be there? You know, I would think that that's what should happen. And when we look here, we can go to the Bible timeline. What we should be able to do is, every one of these dates are important for some reason. Something happened. And what we should be able to do is click on these dates and bring up. What should we bring up? We should be able to bring up the calendar generator so you can see that. All of these, every one of these dates, all of this work has to be accomplished. Not only that, let's go back to the calendar generator. And as we looked at that, we should see this, how we should enhance this calendar. We should enhance it. It should be something that would be more usable. Let's go to the Exodus year, 2518. I'm wondering if that's 2518. I need the BC year. 1528. Okay. 1528. Okay. Yes, 1528 BC. This is the Exodus, year of the Exodus. And, you know, it gives you some, well, I pointed out at the Bible studies, this 3:10:17, every time you see that, 3:10:17, that's the same as the year of the crucifixion. And, but look at all of the information that is missing here. We should have every day of all of these weeks, all the way through to Pentecost. Those are important because every one of those dates means something, like the 10th. What happens on the 10th day here? And what happens on the 11th and the 14th day? The 14th, you don't even know. You can't even see the 14th day as a Wednesday. You should be able to see that when you look at this calendar. This should be expanded so that it represents the biblical, what took place biblically on these days. Here you have the 22nd of the second month. That is extremely important date because that date, God confirms it to be a Sabbath. It confirms it to be a multiple of seven from creation. You don't see that. It's not that it's bad. It's just that this should be enhanced. Now, if you take a look, we can go to, let's look at 30 AD. I'll just get rid of that. 30 AD. And generate. And we, well, you know, here, well, crucifixion here tells you that, but there is no information here. As you can see, 3:10:17. Wouldn't it be really great if we had all these dates spelled out and each date showing what took place, when he rode in on the 10th on that donkey that was brought out in the sermonette today? Wouldn't it be great if this information was expanded into a daily calendar rather than a 7-day calendar? So what does this mean? Well, what I'm seeing here is the fact that we need to get busy. Well, and that one, you know, I point the finger at me because I need to get busy as well. But of course, there's a lot of this thing. I don't know how to do what I'm just saying. I'm just saying this is what we need. If we have to pay someone, I'm more than happy to pay someone that can accomplish this so that when we bring up these calendars, we can show one way or another. We can show, we can have those days of the weekdays showing up and showing what each one of these days means. See, there's a lot of information that could be added in here about what took place to get to the first Pentecost. And also, there should be a connection to the writing that has been done, like the first Pentecost that we would have. When, if they click on there, they should be able to bring up, let's say, bring up the article, Pentecost, the Forgotten Day. This is important information. And you can see that what this would be is a jewel of a tool for studying the Bible and understanding all of the implications of the Bible. This is what we need to do. And so, in effect, what I'm saying here is this should be the jewel of teaching what God has put in His Word. Because no one else has, first of all, no one else has the understanding, the truth of what the Bible is saying. But it's kind of all hidden in here, isn't it? This should be a tool that when people go into it and they look and they should see, oh, look at this. Look what happened. Look at it. the understanding about the crucifixion, that he wasn't crucified on a Friday. It would become obviously plain to anyone looking at this. It's what we need to do. This is the point. And so this is, I think, this is going to be the next emphasis that we should be doing as far as a work. Now, when you think about this, let's go back in our history a little bit. The history of this group. What was the first thing that we did as a group that was of importance? And that was creating the CDs of all of the work that Mr. Armstrong had done. We sent out 20-some thousand CDs around the world containing all of the work that, all of the written work that Mr. Armstrong did. And actually, when they took this away, the person through, you know, I'm sure most of you know the history, through deception and someone else got a hold of it, that was kind of the end of it. It stopped right there. That's the first thing. And then, of course, we did send out 8,000 CDs of about the calendar, how the calendar works, the basic information, you know, which is what we have right here, this basic information. There was, and when you think about this, this is the only factual piece of work, and it tracks every single day without exception of the Bible from creation down to the present. It's not close, but it's absolutely accurate. And anyone is free to, and I'm sure many have tried to show that, oh, you made a mistake here, or this isn't true, or whatever. But in fact is, no one really has been able to show a mistake because there isn't any. So this is what we need to recognize. And this is what we need to do to go forward with this and make this a shining example of God's work. And so I'm just letting everyone of you out there know that this is what we're going to be doing. So you need to be watching and give you the updates, basically, when we make some inroads and are able to put those dates in the calendar on a weekly basis, more than just the Sabbaths. So that concludes this portion of the presentation today.